Now playing.
Why so serious?
What is the Matrix?
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What's in the box?
You like scary movies?
What does Marcellus Wallace look like?
You talking to me? You talking to me?
Movie reviews in 20 Qs.
In 2016, three friends got together and they went and saw a film. A film that was a reboot of a property from the 1980s that, over three decades later, did not really need rebooting. That film was the 2016 Ghostbusters. Those three friends then sat around an iPhone and recorded their conversation about the film. Rather than having a natural conversation about it, they decided to talk about it by asking 20 questions about that film. Now, 2 years later, they have decided to use the exact same questions from that night and apply them to a film that was a reboot of a property from the 1980s that, over three decades later, did not really need rebooting. This time, it's The Predator. Please welcome back for the podcast about a reboot that is rebooting a podcast about a reboot, Mr. Sam Hurley.
Hello, yes, it's me. I'm happy to be back.
Stacey Hurley.
I don't know what to say. Hi, I'm really unexcited to be here.
And making his triumphant return, it's Spanky.
Hey everyone, we're gonna have some fun tonight.
Yes, hello everyone. Yep, it's the OG, it's the three originals. We are back together to do The Predator. And looking at all of our faces, we don't look too happy about doing this. But hey, we're here. How are you guys doing? Stacey, how are you?
I'm great, as always. Happy to be here.
I don't believe you. What about you, Spanky? How are you doing?
Oh, well, you know, who wouldn't want to be here rebooting a reboot?
Yep, you look about as excited as I expected. So anyway, guys, yep, we're doing The Predator. As usual, if you haven't heard this podcast before, what we do is we ask 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. But as you'll hear from our announcer, that's no relation to myself, we're going to go back and we're going to use the questions that we first used when we did our very first podcast together back in 2016. So we're using the Ghostbusters questions. But as usual, what we're going to do is we're going to give a brief rundown on the movie The Predator if you're not planning on going to see it and you don't mind us spoiling it. So Stacey, why don't you hit us with the plot of this film? And good luck to you.
From the outer reaches of space to the small town streets of suburbia, the hunt comes home. The universe's most lethal hunters are stronger, smarter, and deadlier than ever before, having genetically upgraded themselves with DNA from other species. When a boy accidentally triggers their return to Earth, only a ragtag crew of ex-soldiers and an evolutionary biologist can prevent the end of the human race.
It's fake news. It's fake news. There's only about half of this is correct.
Yes. It's just totally ridiculous.
Man. This has easily been written by someone who has not seen the film.
This is not, it's not the plot. It's like a promotional material.
It's like, hey guys, get that paragraph we used for that other action movie and we'll just rearrange some things and just put that out and hopefully it matches up.
Yeah, no, somebody's all there. They've just seen the trailer and they've gone, yeah, that's the plot. Anywho.
Right, that's enough
before
of that.
We take a massive steaming dump on this supposed film, let's have a look at the reviews here. 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb, 35% on Rotten Tomatoes. Spanky, what do you give the film The Predator as a score out of 10,000 unnecessary reboots?
5,012.
What about you, Stace?
Rotten Tomatoes have got this bang on, 3,500.
Interesting. I was kind of expected you to have a very low score, considering halfway through the film you elbowed me and said, I need to go to the toilet. I need a break from this film.
I wanted to stay out longer, but then I thought, oh no, oh no, must be just about finished.
All I'm going to say is it was better than expected for me, because I saw the reviews and was like, oh, this is going to be a fucking dumpster fire. And it was a dumpster fire, but it wasn't a full-blown dumpster fire. It's just that last act dragged for fucking longer than I expected. And so that's why I'm going to give this 5,112.
The same as me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even remember what you've given it.
Exactly the same.
Really?
Yeah, fist bump.
Yay, boom. I legitimately forgot. I must have got in there in the subconscious. But yeah. So yeah, as I said, what we're going to do is we're going to do the 20 questions from the Ghostbusters podcast. But before we've got to do that, we've got our Patreon question. Mr. Phil Joynson, the most amazing man in the world, in the movie reviews in 20Q's world anyway, he very kindly donates $5 a month to get his own personal question thrown in the standard questions that we ask of every film. This time around, because we're not going to insert it into our standard questions from 1 to 20, we're actually going to just chuck it up there first and try and see if we can smash this out of the park. So Phil's question is, what item in this film would you definitely want or not want to be?
I want to be the helmet. The predator helmet that the kid wears that just automatically shoots stuff that tries to threaten it. That's really cool.
Stacey also automatically shoots things that try to threaten her, so...
Yeah.
So you felt great a bit of a kinship with this.
Think alike. Exactly.
What about you, Speggy?
I wouldn't want to be the white tranquilizer gun, mostly because it was ineffective and generally quite useless, but it got lugged around a bit, so generally I just don't want to be something that's ineffective and useless.
I don't want to be that hand grenade. I don't want to be getting jammed inside a fucking alien dog's mouths. That doesn't look too fun.
True.
I totally forgot about that.
Listeners, we watched the movie all of 1 hour ago. Sweet. So cheers for that question, Phil. Always a pleasure to answer that one. Now, as for the Ghostbuster questions, well, we were going to do 19 of them. Our 20th question is a listener question that we put out there to our listeners to answer, so we'll go through their answers at the end. But before that, yep, the 19 questions from the original Ghostbusters. Now, interestingly, all of these can be applied to any film. So I think we were a little ahead of our time there and not actually using specific questions. But here's a mainstay that's popped up in nearly all of our podcasts, is which character just clearly needs to get laid?
I'm pretty sure that the whole cast is severely undersexed.
Totally. I couldn't agree more, Spanky. They're all slightly crazy. Like you say, who leaves their beautiful wife at home and never goes back? And none of them even have any hope, of anything. Even the creepy guy.
Look, I agree with you guys. I reckon most of the cast need to get laid. But for me personally, Alfie Allen, he's in this film. People know him as Reek from Game of Thrones, where he gets shit handed to him. And in this film, he has all of fuck all to do, then gets killed pretty quickly. I sort of feel sorry for him. I'm petitioning for Alfie Allen to actually get laid, both in films and in real life.
Oh, that's a nice shout out. Bit of bromance going on there.
So what we used to do on this podcast is we used to take turns asking three personal questions. It's not like our standard approach now, where we do 10 or play questions and ask three personal. We actually take two turns to ask three personal questions. So I apparently let us off when we did the Ghostbusters podcast. And first question that I asked during that podcast is, which character would you guys most want to fight?
Always had a thing for Jake Busey's character. Well, not his character in this, but his character in Back to the Future.
No.
What?
Isn't he? He is.
He's not Biff.
Are you sure?
Go. Yeah.
Show me the picture, though, so that at least I can feel vindicated-ish. I like to fight them all. mostly because they're all air stealers.
There's a bit of a theme going here, Spanky. You think they all need to get laid, you want to fight them all. Is it because they're so bland, nothing actually stands out from the pack?
Dear listeners, if you've ever been to a party at Spanky, Spanky does try to lay and fight everything there. So, yeah, this is pretty
I feel
pretty
like
par for the course.
I feel like it's like 2 o'clock at the nightclub, but I'm like grasping at straws.
You know what? I'm going to fight the main guy, the main sniper dude, because he's just so fucking annoying. I don't like that actor based on watching him in Narcos. Is a bloody useless character the whole entire way through, and I just cannot get past it.
So true.
He just was the wrong kind of hero for me in this movie.
So true. Moves me on to my next question. What do you guys think of the casting? Well, we're on a good run here.
Should we
skip to the next one?
No, I feel like there needs to be comment. It's not that I'm against like no-name actors, but none of them showed anything. Even Alfie Allen was underutilized to the point where there was just nothing. The best acting out of it all was from like a 12-year-old kid or something.
He's
like that.
7 or 8.
To be honest with you.
Out of a room. He's awesome.
To be honest with you, he was about the best. He stole the scenes that he was in, and I'm like, the acting's terrible.
He was in a shit film, eh?
The acting was terrible.
He was giving Shakespearean level acting in a Senor Spielbergo film. Yeah, I agree with you. I also thought that Thomas Jane sort of brought it, but what about you, Stace?
I agree. It was just bland, bland, bland all the way through.
I also thought Sterling K. Brown was quite good. Traeger, the black guy who was the villain.
I actually did quite like him as a character, now that you bring that up.
Okay, so my final question. What was the most undeveloped character?
Well, I've already established that I didn't like any of the actual characters, so I'm going to go with a CGI character. Now, they had alien predator dogs. Spoiler alert. I just thought they could have done heaps more with the alien predator dog than Fetch.
The most bizarre scene being when they were sent to hunt down the technology, they corner them in a park, and rather than attacking the guys, they stand there and let them shoot at them for about 10-15 minutes. They just stood there. They didn't do anything. The dogs, they didn't attack them and didn't do anything.
They were hiding under the seats. I agree. That was very bizarre because, interestingly, in that scene, a real or an actual dog comes to kind of help the kid. And then he just disappears. When the other CGI dogs came along.
Yeah, and then not to mention when they go to drive away, that dog then shows up again running towards the truck. And they don't even let their poor little fella in. They just drive off and leave him there.
No, it just made no sense.
So are you saying that the most underdeveloped dog was the actual human dog? Sorry, underdeveloped character. Yeah. I'm sorry. I think that's what you're saying. I think we're saying that the most characters with most potential were the dogs.
Yes, yes.
That's exactly what you're saying.
Why were they even in the movie?
Okay, Spanky, your set of three questions.
One of Spanky's favourites, obviously. Rename this movie.
I'm going with the don't even bother.
The undeveloped dogs.
Whatever happened to the dog? All right, so the next one of my questions is, what deep philosophical debate arose in you during this movie?
Next.
Okay.
Do I spend too much time at the movies?
Yes. And I think we just need to park, why did they make this? Because that's just the whole...
That's not really philosophical, though, is it?
Okay, here's my one. I've got a little bit of one. You can kind of call this a horror film. It's, you know, thriller, horror, action, whatever. There's a ton of great horror films out there, right? Sure, that's a given. Sweet. And the thing that they do best is they know how to nail the landing. So they'll do a 2-act setup and then they'll have a satisfying end to it. It might be that everyone dies or everyone lives. They nail the ending. This film kind of fits into that mold of this and a ton of other films where for the first 2/3 of the movie, you're like, holy shit, this is actually going better than expected, blah, blah, blah. And then I sort of just imagine this writer's got so far into it where he's like, I've got no way of actually finishing this film. And that's why I felt like this was. Shane Black got all the way through this and was just like, how the fuck do I end this film? Oh, have the human show off against each other. Oh, and then I'll have the alien blows up the ship and comes after them. Oh, and then we'll have the alien hunts them through the jungle. Oh, and then we'll have a fight up in the air. Oh, and then they'll kill all of them. And then the guy gets a suit. And, oh, shit, I'm fucking out of ideas. More cocaine, please.
Probably one of my favorite questions, and I don't think it's been asked a while. For a while in this podcast. And a great film for this question as well. If Kanye West turned up at your house, what weapon or item from this movie would you use to get rid of him?
I would use that throwing star. You know, the one that they launch off into the jungle and he says you need to catch that with your wrist or elbow, whatever. And the guy loses his arm. That is a classic predator weapon. I would definitely use that.
Yep. Mm. Agreed.
You know that like invisible force field that goes around the ship at the end? I would just have some kind of force field around my house or front door and just go shoom and cut them in half. And it would be like, you know, that scene in Breaking Bad where the guy dies and he gets sliced in half and then he just peels away.
No, I haven't watched Breaking Bad yet, but thanks for the spoiler.
You need to sort that
shit out
right now.
Oh, you won't see it coming because I didn't mention the character's name, so you don't know.
True.
But what a befitting end to Walter White. I'm just joking, Spanky.
Okay, question number 8. Which character would have worked better as a dog? And even an underdeveloped dog.
The entire cast.
I was going to say exactly the same.
Predators thing. Versus dogs. And dogs versus predator dogs. Dogs on dogs. Give me all dog, all time. Doggity dog, dog, dog.
Oh. Isle of dogs. Oh. Come predator.
Come predator. Well, they come a predator.
No, I'm just saying.
Sounds like in a very I'm just incredibly saying, painful ejaculation.
I'm just saying, like, all predator dogs. And can't people as dogs.
Mm.
Yeah. Yes. I love dogs.
I haven't seen it.
Oh,
no, I haven't seen it.
It's fantastic, by the way.
We watched 20 minutes of it and went to sleep. That was...
Oh, you guys.
Imagine Isle of Dogs with a Predator. That'd be cool.
Well, you couldn't imagine it because you didn't even finish the fucking movie.
Still got imagination.
Sometimes things are better in your imagination.
Oh, right. Yes.
Question Next. Number 9. Little did I know how iconic this question would become when I used it in our first ever episode. And I'm actually starting to turn the tables, and for the first time ever, I actually think this actor needed to be in this movie.
What so I can't the fig?
I can't wait to hear your answers. How would you incorporate Nicolas Cage into this movie?
Actually, I really think Nicolas Cage would have done a better job as leading man. I think... I'm serious. I'm deadly serious.
Last podcast, we threw the idea out there of him being the Predator, like when we did the original Me, Macho, and Carter.
Oh, shit, yeah. I love that idea.
That would have been good. And I'm just going to point out, quite funnily, we also suggested Whoopi Goldberg as the Predator. And in this film.
Oh, Nonu.
Yeah.
Harris.
In this film, it said Whoopi Goldberg. Like, what does the Predator look like? Imagine Whoopi Goldberg as an alien. And I thought that was pretty fucking hilarious. But I'll tell you what, I want him to play Olivia Munn's character. Because I want nothing more than to see Nicolas Cage kneeling down naked and the Predator looking at him and thinking, nah, you're too pathetic to kill.
Ruthless, Sam. Question 10. What was the clunkiest part of dialogue?
It started around minute zero and finished when we walked out of the movie theater, didn't it?
Anything that came out of Boyd Holbrook's mouth. There you go. Anything that came out of the lead actor's mouth was dribble.
Okay, so question number 11. How many assholes were there in this movie theater?
All of us that were in the theater were all assholes because we paid to see a movie that we all suspected was going to be terrible, and it was.
Yeah.
But in saying that, there weren't many assholes in the theatre.
No. We did have an early session, though.
Okay, so which character from this film would you pick first to be on your soccer team?
The Predator. The Big Predator. Yeah.
Predator Hunter.
Yeah, we're both going to take the Big Predator. The Big Predator Hunter. Mostly because he's, like, 9 feet tall and, like, can kick the shit out of anyone. Even if you just put him in goal, he would be intimidating.
You know he's going to get red carded within, like, 30 seconds, eh?
We'll put him in goal then, eh?
Hey, I'm
still going to get red carded from there.
I'm actually going to go with Casey Brackett. Did you guys know that's what her name was?
Yeah.
I love your mum.
Yeah.
What's she going to do? Run the water out.
Well, she lasted the whole movie, right? And she was quite smart. She could just run around and...
She's the world's fucking authority on microbiology that also knows how to shoot a rifle.
Yeah.
Right, you know, all of that random shit that just doesn't get explained.
In the screenwriting world, they're called Curly Sues. They're
what?
They're basically females that can do everything for no discernible reason why.
Mm.
So, for instance, she, you know, she's this biologist. She can shoot guns. She knows exactly what the Predator's thinking. She can chase him down. Well, she just, like, chases him through a fucking, like, you know, research area. She then jumps on the roof of a fucking bus chasing after this guy.
That's unreal. Georgia Ellenbrook, eat your heart out.
Mm.
But she also shot herself in the foot with a tranquilizer gun.
Got to have some sort of plot device for her to hang out with all the boys.
Yeah, because there's no way she would have ever hung out with them.
No, but
Usain Bolt couldn't fucking sprint down a Predator. No. Except for she can, though, while carrying the useless white tranquilizer gun easily, which she then shoots herself in the foot with.
Yeah. It's
like, hold on, you're just like, you happen to be one of the most athletically talented people in the world who shoots himself in the foot.
Okay, so question number 13. How long would you two survive in this movie's world? One of our old staples.
I would have got killed in that first lab.
Yes, you would have. Yes, correct.
I would have been one of those white lab coats in the corner or the just or with the clipboard and I would have just got wasted.
Yeah.
Nah, I reckon I get killed in a weird and wonderful way at the end. The more crazy the person, the longer that they seem to last in this film. So
would you jump into the jet engine of a alien spacecraft, or would you be skewered on a tree?
I know you think Spanky would be anywhere near the shit. That guy would be fucking hightailing it the first second shit. <dude.
laughs> I reckon I'd just randomly get sucked into the engine. I don't think I'd jump.
He'd be the dude that shot off the fucking the ninja star that came back and took the guy's arm off. That would be Spanky.
Yeah, except for it would catch me square in the crotch, I think.
Yeah.
And I'd bleed out.
Do you want me to shoot you in the head if that happens?
Nah, just let me bleed out. Just let me bleed out. Okay, so the film left a bit of room, a bit of scope perhaps for a sequel.
Oh yeah, can't wait.
All right, so give a tagline for this supposed sequel.
Who let the CGI dogs out?
Oh, jeez.
I'll give you that.
The Predator Hunter. Who let the CGI dogs out?
I can't top that. Well done, Stace. You win. I would have just gone with here we go again.
All right. So obviously everyone really looking forward to the sequel, which is unsurprising given the awesome ratings it's got so far. Make up an online dating profile name for one of the characters in this film. Now, as you don't know many of the characters, it's going to be a little difficult, but good luck with that.
What about Pinch a Lynch?
Alfie Allen's character was named Lynch. That's not bad. Olivia Munn's character's name was Casey Brackett. So I'm going to go with Casey Brackett, Chill Jacket. Or Bracket All Jacket. There we go.
Bracket All Jacket. Is there anything else I'm going to have to tap
Pussy out? Sniper 69.
That's a good one.
Right. Okay, so last one of my questions is, which band or artist should have done the soundtrack for this movie?
I'm going to go with Incubus, because Incubus is mostly all right on the albums, but quite a lot of shit as well.
I actually think any soundtrack would have been better than none. I didn't hear any music in this film. I actually watched the trailer when we got home and there was music in it and I was like, oh, it's interesting. It's like way more interesting and exciting just with that little bit of music in it.
There wasn't even a score, was there?
No.
I don't remember.
All I remember is the doof, doof, doof of his footsteps. That's the only soundtrack.
If you're gonna do a Predator movie, maybe get another Predator. Why not R. Kelly?
Yeah, that's right.
You know what? What would have made this really fun though is Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga makes everything fun, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's my answer. Final answer. Speaking of which,
Lady Gaga is in an upcoming film with Bradley Cooper.
We are not going to watch it.
Thank God, because that movie looks like fucking terrible.
Okay, so there were some great one-liners, and I think this was
it.
There were actually, because I heard you guys laugh out loud a couple of times, and I think they were trying to replicate the humour from the first movie.
Yep.
So what was the funniest part of this movie?
Oh, easy. When people in lab coats, like maybe like three middle-aged white lab coat guys, try to hold down a predator.
Hold him down!
With their hands.
They don't
okay.
For the guns.
Okay,
the
he's gonna bust out of the stainless steel restraints. We better hold him down with our hands. This could be an engineer thing. Could totally be an engineer thing. But your hands are not as strong as stainless steel chains. Just by the way.
Yeah. I got two. Keegan-Michael Kay gave some hilarious jokes on the bus. About what's the difference between five black men or whatever it was. But my other favourite funniest part was when little Jacob Tremblay was out trick-or-treating, roaming around the hood sort of thing, and he had his mask on. And then that random dude came out and just threw a fucking apple at him or something. and it just bounced off the helmet. And helmet went into automatic mode and just demoed that dude's house. That's the biggest overreaction from a helmet I've ever seen in my entire life.
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's at the point where I thought, oh, this movie could be going somewhere.
Yeah, same.
Like, this is smart. What's going to happen now? What else is the helmet going to do? Nothing.
Nothing.
Maybe that's the most undeveloped character, the helmet.
It's either the dog,
it's moved
the
past
CGI sentient. Dog, or the helmet.
We're moving past right. sentient beings right. into helmets.
All right.
His undeveloped character was a helmet.
Okay, so has this movie changed your opinion on anything?
Yes, on Shane Black. I loved me some Shane Black, but I didn't love this film.
Aww.
I don't know if it's changed my opinion or it's galvanized my opinion in the fact that they don't really know how to do action films anymore. They can't just do gratuitous violence without a joke, without some semblance of story. They can't just put like a behemoth of a leading man in there and have him carry the whole shit. Like, action could be a dying genre.
Picking up what you're putting down, it did do two very marvelly things, and that it was trying to sort of force jokes in there that weren't really needed, and it was also trying to universe build. So rather than just ending the film, we get him getting treated to a Predator-style Iron Man suit. It was ridiculous.
Everything's got to be superhero. It's not action anymore.
Yeah.
It's not good enough just to be able to kill people and leave it at that. So... maybe like John Wick, notwithstanding.
Mad Max, Fury Road.
I think maybe we need to revisit that movie since we're on this reboot.
I would love
Fury Road. Shall we do Fury Road?
Yeah,
fuck, I'd love
we
to.
Haven't.
Love to do Fury Road. Charlize Theron, Tom Hardy. Now there's some fucking actors.
We've got two questions left. Let's just fucking.
Who wants to do Fury Road? Should be the last question.
Okay, so. Welcome to Movie Reviews in 20 Qs. This week's movie is Mad Max Fury Road. You guys know the plot. You guys know who Stacey Spengia scores out 10,000. 10,000 around. Sweet. Okay. Compliment sandwich. One for good, one for bad, one for good. About Fury Road. How's Stacey? Go.
Charlize Theron. Bad thing. Not enough.
Charlize Theron.
Yeah,
Charlize Theron.
Good thing. Tom Hardy. Yes.
Yes. Okay, cool. Yep, same. I agree.
Okay, guys, we can do it. Two more questions.
Okay.
Question 19. What aspect of this movie did you find similar to your own life?
Definitely the alien invasion.
Does that happen to you frequently?
Yes, yeah, just when you think one alien's chasing you, a bigger alien shows up, fucks him up, and makes your life infinitely more harder. That sums up my life to a T.
Okay. Basically, the forced comedy. My life is like... just like
you try and force comedy into your life, is that what you're saying?
I make stupid jokes about serious things at the most inappropriate times, and that is exactly what this movie does.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so the question number 20 from the original Ghostbusters podcast was, what sex scene are we disappointed not to get? I think we all are going.
Kevin.
Who the fuck
from
is
Ghostbusters?
Oh yeah.
And what's the alien sex predator one?
Yeah, that's what we're saying. I was about to say. I think we're universally going to agree that we're gutted not to get predator on predator action.
Yeah. Yep,
so totally. We're just going to forego that question. And what we're going to do is we're going to throw it out to the listener question. So we're going to skip that one and go straight to our listener question, which is, well, there's a lot of films that are getting rebooted, remade, reimagined, blah 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 blah. But typically, it's sort of films like this, where they're classic films that really don't need to be touched. You know, Ghostbusters didn't need to be touched. This didn't need to be touched. Total Recall didn't need to be touched. Point Blank didn't need to be retouched. But they've just gone back and done them. Robocop didn't need to be touched. I could go for fucking hours. So instead, I flipped that question and I actually asked our listeners, what film would you actually like to see get remade? Maybe they missed the mark. Maybe they didn't hit it as hard as they probably should have done. So what we're going to do is we are going to go through their answers before we give ours. So here we go. Coming up first, the IMDb Journey podcast, which means Stacey were recent guests on.
Yes, that was exciting. Thanks for having us, guys.
Holy shit, we had a good time. And holy shit, their podcast is awesome.
It is
a lot of fun, and we're very that was the first one that me and you actually guested on one together. That's quite cool. Anyway, they threw at us Super Mario Brothers. If you guys haven't seen the film from the early 90s,
yeah,
okay. It's like taking a power drill to your forehead while being repeatedly kicked in the nuts by an angry mule. It is not a lot of fun.
Yes, maybe a remake would be good, but isn't it just better as a game?
I think that's what most of it, as they pointed out, because let's face it, they couldn't make it any worse than the original.
True.
Next up is the Real Feels podcast. They threw a couple of honorable mentions at us, which I'll go into first, which was Eragon and Avatar The Last Airbender.
Agree, Avatar The Last Airbender, because that was like M. Night Shyamalan, wasn't it? The worst, and the cartoon's great, so 100% agree, that's a fucking awesome one to reboot.
But the pick was Green Lantern. They'd like to see this remade with Idris Elba as Jon Stewart, is the smart way to go about this. Ryan Reynolds wasn't a good choice and the script was weak. Now, Mark Strong as Sinestro was spot on. So completely agree with that.
Yeah, no, Green Lantern's another good one because he's an actual awesome DC character. But DCEU is so fucked anyway that you can't help but think they'll fuck it up.
Epic Film Guys, another great podcast you guys go check out. Me and Nick from the Epic Film Guys actually recently battled on a fantasy movie draft of action movies from the 2000s. So he said, still waiting on a decent Fantastic Four movie.
True.
Everybody True. Is.
That's yes. right. Who doesn't want to see the Silver Surfer actually kicking ass?
Galactus, like properly fucking Galactus, not a cloud in the sky coming for Earth or whatever the hell he was.
Yeah, and Reed Richards actually kicking ass because he's like mega in the Marvel Universe, but yeah. smarter than Tony Stark.
Good choice. Movies with the misses. The Dark Tower. Very cool concept and characters with two studs as the lead, but it still fell apart. Not horrible, but it could have been something special. Completely agree. The Dark Tower novels are flipping awesome. The More Gooder Than podcast, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Old Man Nindy, tick. Brought Marion back, tick. Setting in South America, tick. Timely use of Russians as the bad guys, tick. Fix everything else.
Well, that's a very specific pitch there, isn't it?
I love it. Moving on to the next one, Victims and Villains. Warcraft. Honestly, could have been a great movie, but it was so clustered. Video game curse. In other news, glad to know we're not the only ones covering Predator. No, you guys aren't. We kind of have.
We've covered it.
But yeah,
something.
Covered it. Definitely excrement. Covered
something. But that's a great answer. I would have loved to have seen a decent Warcraft film. Moves us on to Tara Maholic. She said, work with me here, Wonder Woman, but not present day reboot. You need to go back in time. We need to cast Lucy Lawless in her Amazonian prime as the iconic Wonder Woman and have Disney own it so it's actually great. Mic drop. Wow. Tara. Moves on to Gillian Ashton. She threw up The Rocketeer. I don't need to say anything else. And she then included a photo of Sebastian Stan, who she's got a mad crush on. But she also said Age of Ultron sucked a big one and the Bruce Nat relationship should never have happened. I agree. I would have loved a decent second Avengers outing. Throwing it over to good friend Paul from the Countdown podcast. He said The War of the Worlds. I thought it was a great PG-13 sci-fi thriller and then When I Let the Sun Live in the most cheap and shithouse way and it ruined the whole thing. I blame Spielberg for not having the balls to follow through on the death.
Yeah, it needs to be Tim Burton or something. You know, it needs to be like really weird.
War of the Worlds
is fucking weird, man.
It is a weird.
It's supposed to be weird. It's supposed to be like out there, and Spielberg is just as vanilla as it comes.
Well, you really want to like a 90s Tim Burton, not a present day Tim Burton.
No, yeah.
Basically a pre-Planet of the fucking Averages.
Yeah.
Next up is The Save Room. Constantine could use another feature length for Go. The TV series got real close to the comic Constantine, but died before its time. Really wish they'd let Guillermo del Toro film his Justice League Dark idea. Would have been a fun expansion into DC's weirder catalogue. Absolutely love that. That's a really good answer. The box office refund said Ghost in the Shell. So much potential and I was so pumped to see it. But from casting to dialogue to plot, it all missed the mark. Now I sort of went back and said, I agree, but not wholeheartedly. As someone who fell asleep in the cinema twice during one session and missed 15 minutes of it each time, I don't know if I can adequately state that it was a complete misfire. Stacey, you remember watching the entire film. No, you've got a blank look on your face.
No, I liked that movie. I actually quite liked that, so I don't really know what needs to be redone.
The Box Office Boys, Eragon for sure. It's got such great source material for adaptation. Unfortunately, the movie didn't capture the spirit of the first novel. I'd love to see another go at it. Not that familiar with the novel, not that really that familiar with the film. We'll take you guys' word for it. And that moves us on to Nguyen Lee. He threw out the last Witch Hunter. This was a Vin Diesel movie in which he was cursed with immortality and hunted down witches. Take Vin Diesel out of that, put someone in that's decent, you've probably got a good film. And then that moves us on to, finally, Joanne. Joanne threw at us The Snowman. Snowman being a complete misfire based on the Joe Nesbo novel, starring good old Fassbender. It was horrible.
Wow, okay, that sounds great. I've never heard of the original, so obviously it needs to be remade.
And then Jackson also chipped in and also said Avatar The Last Airbender. Been over that. Yep. He mentioned what a complete piece of shit is of a movie. Completely agree. Let's get reimagining ASAP. And then finally, a podcast about something. One of the more controversial calls, Harry Potter. All of them. But a Netflix series.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
Didn't expect that because I'm not a Harry Potter fan. Never really watched the films or anything. Most accounts, everyone bloody loves them. So that's a controversial call.
Yeah, but it's the same sort of deal with the way that I really love The Lord of the Rings, but the movies are like, meh. You know, like there's probably a lot more source material there that you can work with, and that 10 hours Netflix series per book could probably deal to. So, you know, if you're into that shit, I'm definitely saying fair enough.
I definitely get that angle of, you're right, those novels and books that have so much content you can't squeeze it into a movie.
And finally, we're going to finish on our good friends the Contrarians. They also brought up The Dark Tower. As the Contrarian said, if you've read The Dark Tower series, then you know that saying the movie missed the mark is an understatement. Let's get a redo. Completely agree for the reasons that we've already discussed. And what a way to finish. Takes us into our ones. What about you guys? What film would you like to see remade?
You know what I want to see remade and rewritten and reshot and re-everything is Suicide Squad. That could have been potentially fun and interesting and a really good launch pad for DC, but it just was totally shit. But maybe people don't feel like giving them another chance. I don't know.
Completely agree.
But you definitely won't get those internet trolls going, "You've destroyed my childhood," if you remake this movie.
But you might still. You never know what the internet's like. What about you, Spanky? What would you like to see?
Lord of the Rings. Just doesn't do it for me in terms of the books, and love them so much that even though the movies are good, I think that it could be great.
The whole book to movie thing is so problematic. They almost shouldn't really do it, you know, in some ways.
But as a Kiwi, Peter Jackson plus the New Zealand landscape, I should be like, oh my God, it's so fantastic. But I'm just like, as a J.R.R. Tolkien fan, reshoot that shit.
I'm going to go with the Will Smith film. This actually came up as a result of the conversation I had with Paul over this, because Paul mentioned War of the Worlds and how it sort of shat the bed and had a really good chance to end that. I'm not going to go with that. I'm going to go with I Am Legend, the Will Smith film that came out roughly 10 years ago. Because I Am Legend actually shot an amazing ending, but it never used it. Similar to the original novel, the I Am Legend ending is that you discover that he's actually the bad guy. That people have evolved into the nightmarish vampire-style beings that they are, that are living in the city. And that he's actually the one going around hunting them, and they are only retaliating on him because he's abducting, you know, the members of their community and all that sort of stuff and doing experiments on them and thinking that he's saving them when really he's actually the bad guy. And they shot that, and he discovers that he's the bad guy, and they call him the villain and all this other stuff. And he ends up killing himself, and then these people are free. Now, that ending would be, well, that movie would be a movie that we're still talking about today.
People are sometimes allergic to dark stuff when sometimes it's needed.
Yeah, exactly.
To have an
what
impact.
Movie again? Just so that I'm sure about what we're talking about, because it's that not memorable. But I reckon I would have remembered it with a better ending.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah. It's so true. And you're right, Stacey. It's like Usual Suspects and Sixth Sense and stuff like that. Those are the movies you remember. The movies actually had really impactful endings. Anywho, that takes us down to the end of the podcast. Thank you everyone for listening, and thank you everyone for your answers and feedback. That's been really awesome. And I just want to thank these guys for joining me on a rehash of a reboot, 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 of a reimagining of a reboot, of a retelling of a reimagining of a rehash of a reboot. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, so if you like the podcast and want to get behind us and help support us, you can go along to patreon.com/MRITQS. You can throw a dollar at us, or you can throw $5 at us and get your question put in permanent rotation. If you want to find us on the interwebs, you can find us on facebook.com/moviereviewsandtwittercues. You can find us on Twitter at @MovieReviewsIn, and you can send us an email for any suggestions, films, or whatever that you want to toss at us at MRITQS. Anyway, that's thanks for me.
Thanks. Good night.
Thanks.
It's like the stripper voice.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together now for the lovely Scarlet Beauty that is Stacy.
I didn't know this. She's not introduced.
Ladies and gentlemen, make your way to the nerd. Get your tips out. Stacy.
That's right, definitely a waste of $17.
I'm glad we all got ice creams.
That's right.
And the highlight of your film is getting ice cream.